We're beginning here on the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing to discuss what it had begun yesterday, which is based on the Braita that rain that fell on Yom Tov itself is considered to be Keragle Kol Adam, that any person who draws that water or takes that water takes on the Tchum of the individual who takes ownership of it first. The Gemara wanted to understand why is that the case. Why wasn't the water Kone Shvita the day before, either from its source in the ocean or from its source from the clouds? The Gemara's answer, which we ended off with yesterday, was Elamaya be'avim minad naidi. The water that's in the clouds is moving, and since it's moving, it never is kone shvita. It never has a place where it gets shvita to have the dalat amot. The Gemara says, if you're going to say that about the clouds, okeanos nami, then the ocean itself is also not a question. Because the water in the ocean itself is also moving. And since it's in constant motion, it's never really konesh vita. Because in order to be konesh vita, you have to come to rest at a certain point. And since either the clouds or the ocean are in constant movement, they are not konesh vita. Because of that, when they appear on Yom Tov, or when it rains on Yom Tov, whoever takes ownership of that water first, they designate or confer on that water the tchumim for the water. Vitanyo, and we have a braita that supports that, which is narota moshchim. If you have rivers that are flowing, umayonota novim, or springs that are springing forth, harihen geragle kol adam. They're like the individual who takes possession of that water, they have the tchum like that individual. And again, the supposition is because they are moving, that is causing it not to have shvita, and therefore it takes the shvita of the individual who takes possession of it. Rashi says here, narota moshchim, we're talking about rivers of individuals, which they own. I mean, even if it is a river of an individual, nevertheless, they do not acquire shvita like the individual because of the fact that they are moving. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam believes that we're even talking about here, narot of the rabbim. Rashi says that the proof here is the fact that these narota moshchim belong to a single individual, and since they belong to a single individual, they should have been konesh shvita because of that ownership. Nevertheless, the Braita still says, because they're moshchim, because they're in movement, they are not konesh shvita. So we see that movement undermines this issue of shvita. The Rabbeinu Tam says, even if you say that these narot belong to the rabbim, and we saw before that waters or bodies of water of the rabbim are not konesh shvita, and they belong to whoever takes possession of them first, nevertheless, the Rabbeinu Tam says you've still proven this braita that movement is the issue because it says narota moshchim umayotamim harin kagle kol adam. That's the mishicha. It's the movement itself that is causing this din, and not simply because it is a nahar. Then the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in our Mishnah said that a person who falls asleep in the entry of Shabbat and it's still konesh vita, despite the fact that he was asleep, benesh mashovet, at the time that he was konesh vita. In addition to that, we said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's position is also that chefze hefker, items that are unowned, are also konesh vita bimkoman. They are konesh vita wherever they are found on the entry of Shabbat. So Rabbi Yaakov Idi says, Alacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Amalei Rabbi Zeirul, Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, beferu shmi alacha, o michlola shmi alacha. Did you hear that explicitly from Yoshua ben Levi, or were you medayeked from something that he said? I heard that explicitly from him. My klala, what would be the inference from the words of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Damar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, halacha digvrei amekil be'eruv. The halacha is always like the person who is more lenient when it comes to a roof. So Gemara says, okay, well now that we have both of those statements, v'tarta lamali, why do I need both of these statements from Yoshua ben Levi? If Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi really believes that the halacha is like the one who is more lenient with regards to Eruv, then why do I need him to explicitly state that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? He is the one who is makil over here. He is the more lenient opinion over here. Amar Rabbi Zeira v'tzrichi, we need both of them. Di ashminu halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you told me that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, hava amina ben l'kula ben l'chumra. I would have thought that whether it's lenient or more stringent. Kamash Malon, so that's why with the other statement that halacha kedivrei mekel be'eruv, that the halacha is like the more lenient opinion in eruv. V'leima halacha kedivrei mekel be'eruv, then just say that. Just make that one statement that the halacha is like the more lenient opinion in eruv, and forget about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri altogether, because that would be the automatic outcome of paskening like the Divrei HaMekel over here. So Halacha ked Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lamali itzrich, we still need that. The only time we said that Halacha is the Divrei HaMekel when it's one against one, v'rabim b'makom rabim, or it's multiple people versus multiple people, aved yachid b'makom rabim, if it's an individual who is arguing with multiple people, emalo, maybe there the individual's opinion would not hold weight, and we would not say Halacha k'divrei HaMekel. So k'mash malon, that despite the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is arguing on the Rabbanan, still the Halacha is Divrei HaMekel like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So actually what comes out from this statement of Rabbi Shub and Levi is that we actually only paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri with regards to what he said in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, he argued on the Chachamim with reference to a person who falls asleep upon the entry of Shabbat. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says he's Konesh Vita, and therefore he gets 2,000 Amot in every direction. The Chachamim say he's not Konesh Vita, and therefore he only gets Dalet Amot. We also said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri believes the same thing by Hefzeh Hefker, unowned items. By unowned items, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri believes that those items are Konesh Shvita wherever they're located. Now, by Kelim, that actually turns out to be a Chumrah, because if they were not Konesh Shvita, then those items would wait until someone took possession of them, and when they took possession of them, then they would acquire the limitations of the Tchum of the person who takes them. And that would be a Kula, because then they would move with that individual. His ownership would then define their Tchum. But if they have self-defined tchum from where they are sitting, then that individual can't necessarily take them to where he wants to go. So it turns out, with regards to Chetzei Hefgar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is actually the Chumrah, more stringent, and the Chachamim, who don't believe Chetzei Hefgar, are going to Shvita, or the Kula. So based on that, we will paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Gabe Adam, like a person who is sleeping, the halacha will be that he is Kohen Shvita, but by Kelim, we'll paskin like Divrei HaMekel, like the one who is more lenient, and not like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And the fact is that Chefzei Hefker are not Konim Shvita. They do not acquire any Shvita, and therefore, whoever takes possession of them first, their Chum will be defined by that individual. And as Tosavot points out, that this is not necessarily Tarte de Satre, because we can differentiate between Adam and Kelim. The reason by Adam that he is Konim Shvita is because had he been awake, he would have been Konim Shvita. So therefore, if he's sleeping, we say that he's also Konesh Shvita. By Kelim, that logic doesn't apply. By Kelim, it has to do with Chefzei Hefker. Do unowned objects acquire Tchum? And the answer is no. So therefore, we can bifurcate, split the halacha here, and we'll always be like Divrei HaMekel. By Adam, the Divrei HaMekel is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. By Kelim, the Divrei HaMekel is the Rabbonon. And that's the way we will paskin.
Amrlei Rabbo de Baye Michdei, a Ruvin to Rabbonon. Mali yachid b'makom yachid, mali yachid b'makom rabim. Rava queries Abaye and says, I don't understand why we need this whole explanation as to why we need to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to show us that it's still halacha b'yachid b'makom rabim. When we're talking about a ruvin, we're talking about a din d'rabbanan. And in a din d'rabbanan, who says that you would differentiate between yachid b'makom yachid and yachid b'makom rabim? Because it's a din d'rabbanan, it should be irrelevant that it's yachid b'makom rabim.
Now, Amalei Rav Papa the Ravo. Rav Papa asked Ravo, b'durabanan lo shanilan ben yachid b'makom yachid, yachid b'makom rabim. Just because we're dealing with a din d'rabbanan over here, and we're saying halacha divrei HaMekel, why do we not still differentiate between one versus one, versus one versus multiple people? Why isn't it that the rabim make a difference? V'hatnan, we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer, according to the Bach, Omer, kol isha shavru alea shalosh onot, any woman has three cycles, menstrual cycles pass her, dayashata. She then no longer has to worry about tuma limafreya. This has to do with the first Mishnah Nida. The first Mishnah Nida discusses the fact that when a woman sees dam nida, the assumption is that that wasn't the first time that the dam was released, and that she's actually tmeya from the time that the dam is released from the rechem, from the womb. But how do we know? We don't know when the blood was released from the womb versus when it actually exits her body. So we have an assumption that when she sees the dam, that in all likelihood, 24 hours beforehand, the blood already began to flow and was in the beta chitzon, which is in the vaginal canal. So even though the woman is tmeya from the moment that the blood exits the womb into the vaginal canal, nevertheless, we don't assume that the dam is there. We have her check at the time she should expect her menstrual cycle. And if she checks and finds dam, she's tmeya at that moment. But we don't assume that the dam exited beforehand min haTorah. But midrabanan, we are a choshesh. We suspect that the dam was actually there beforehand, and it was captured in the vaginal canal and did not exit the woman's body. She checked, she found it there, but it really was there from 24 hours prior to that point in time. And then it only exited from the body later on. So because of that, midine doraita, she will only be classified as a nida from the moment she sees the dam. But with regards to tuma'ah, the rabbanon goes there that such a woman is tuma'ah 24 hours retroactively. That she actually became tmeah 24 hours earlier, and every tarot that she touched in that 24-hour period will actually be tmeah. So Rabbi Eliezer says that's only true with a woman who is expecting her menstrual period. If she's not expecting it, then we do not have this principle that the assumption that the blood already came out, and we're only seeing it now. And that's what he says. Kol isha shavru aleha shlosha note. Any woman who has three cycles where she saw no dam, dayashata. Then when she sees the dam, we assume she's tmeya from that moment prospectively, and we do not say that she's tmeya retroactively for the 24 hours. Whereas the Chachamim disagree and say that that's only true by a zekena, by an older woman who is reaching the age of menopause, do we say that the skipping of three cycles makes her misuleket damim, as if she has no cycle, and then if she sees damim, dayashata. But for a younger girl who has a skipping of the cycle three times, that's not evidence of the fact that she will not continue to menstruate, or we can expect her to menstruate. Vitanya, Maseh, Vasa, Rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer. There was an incident where Rabbi Paskin, like Rabbi Eliezer, Chashin Iskar, after he remembered, we don't know what he remembered, Amar Gedaihu, Rabbi Eliezer, Lismocha Labishatatat, that we can rely on Rabbi Eliezer when it's a time of need. Rashi claims the time of need here was that it was a Shnat Bitzoret, it was a time of drought, famine, and therefore Rabbi was unwilling to be mitamei certain tarot because there was a tremendous need for food and he didn't want to cause it to be tamei. Tosafot, on the other hand, says that that can't be the explanation, but rather the shat ha-tachak here was that there was a huge monetary loss involved if they were mitamei the tarot l'mafreya. So my lachar shenizkar, what exactly did Rabbi remember and then make that statement that Rabbi Eliezer is kedai lismoch alav? If he remembered, oh, the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, elik Rabbanan, but really like the Rabbanan, shatat chak, heki avid kavate. How can he paskin like Rabbi Eliezer and shatat chak if the halacha is just not like him? The halacha is not like him. It's as if he doesn't exist, and therefore, Rabbi should have corrected the psak and retracted his statement. Elod lo itmear hilchata lo Rabbi Eliezer ve lo Rabbanan. Must be that the Gemara makes no statement of psak with regards to Rabbi Eliezer versus the Rabbanan. We don't know who the halacha is like. After you remember the Lav Yachid Paligale, El Rabim Paligale, after you remember that who argued on Rabbi Eliezer was not an individual, but rather Rabim, the Rabbanan. So therefore, the Chalalei Psak should say, Yachid V'Rabim, halacha k'Rabim. Amar Kedayu Rabbi Eliezer, L'smocha Lav Shatat Chak. In Shatat Chak, we can rely on a Dat Yachid. So even though it's Yachid versus Rabim, and normally in any other circumstance, we would say, halacha k'Rabim. Nevertheless, in Shat HaTachak, he was willing to use the position of Rabbi Eliezer because the halacha wasn't paskin in either Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbanan, and we're just using Klali HaPsak to say, well, Rabbim trump the Yachid, and therefore the halacha is like the Rabbim. But what you see from this is, there is a difference between Yachid versus Yachid, and Yachid versus Rabbim, even though here we're dealing with something that is a Din Dirabanan, talking about Tumah L'Mafreya, which is all Gzerat Chachamim. Nevertheless, we differentiated between Yachid v'Rabim. So Rav Papa is saying to Rava, how can you make a statement that by Eruv we are indifferent between Yachid versus Yachid and Yachid versus Rabim because it's Dirabonon? Here we have a Din Dirabonon and there is such a differentiation that is made. So I'm Rav Sharshia the Rava, V'Amrila Rav Nachma Yitzchak the Rava, Uvid Rabbanon Lo Shani ben Yachid, Balgom Yachid ben Yachid Makom Rabim. And now we have another challenge about this fact that we do not differentiate between Yachid versus Yachid and Yachid versus Rabim. Vatanya, we have a bright with regards to Avelut. Shmua Krova Noheget Shiva Vishloshim. Person gets the news close to the death of a relative that they have to sit Shiva for, or they have to have Avelut for. Then they practice Shiva and Shloshim. Rechokah, if they got the news much later, at a later date from the time of the death, we'll see what that separation is, then they're only noeg avelut for that day itself when they get the Shmua. Vezi krova, vezi rechokah. How do I know when the news is close enough to death to require avelut? Versus, if it's too far away, to only have one day of avelut. Mitoch shloshim krova. If it's within the first 30 days after the death, that's called a shmua krova, and when you get that shmua, you have to be noeg shiva and shloshim from the day that you get the news. Lachar shloshim, after 30 days, that's considered to be shmua rechoka. And since it's a shmua rechoka, you only have to keep the din of avelut for one day. It's actually mixed with yom kukulo, so you have to keep a portion of the day be'avelut. The reason being that for anybody beside a parent, the structure of avelut is 30 days. So if you're within that structure of the avelut the first 30 days, then you'll practice avelut if you get the news within that time period. If you don't get the news within that time period, then we say that you're outside the normal realm of avelut, and you only have this practice of avelut for the shmua rechoka. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's the position of Rabbi Akiva. V'chachamim omrim, chad shmua krova v'chad shmua rechoka, noheget shiva v'shloshim. Chachamim say it makes no difference how far away the news is from the actual death. Either way, you're noeg shiva and shloshim when you get the news. Anytime you find an individual is lenient and the majority is machmir, halacha k'divrei machmirim ha'merubim, then the halacha is always like the merubim, chutz mizu, except for this case. Which is the classic case of Rabbim versus Yachid. Nevertheless, halacha k'divrei Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. V'savar laki Shmuel. And this is premised on the din of Shmuel. D'amar Shmuel, halacha k'divrei Meikyo ba'Avel. That we always paskin like the lenient opinion of Avel. And that happens to be a common denominator between Eruv and Avelut, which is that we always paskin like the divrei Meikyo both by Eruv and by Avelut. Now, again, the Gemara says, ba'Avelut hu da'akilu ba'Rabbonon. Only in Avelut do we say such a kula, where we paskin like the Yachid versus the Rabbim. But, in any other instance, we would have paskin of the Rabbim over the Yachid. Aval ba'alma afilu b'rabbonon, shani ben yachid, b'makom yachid, ben yachid, b'makom yarabim. Any other din d'rabbonon, we would have differentiated between one versus one, and one versus the rabbim. We would always paskin like the majority in those cases. If there are multiple opinions against the yachid, we will paskin like those multiple opinions, even in din d'rabbonon. So now we had two questions on this position. Halacha k'divrei Meikyo by Eruv is even in the face of yachid b'makom rabbim. Why? We're assuming because it's a din d'rabbanan, therefore we're meikyo even of yachid b'makom rabim. Well, if that's the case, the Gemara says I have two questions. I have a question from the halacha of Nidan, I have a question from the halacha of Eilut. Both of those cases seem to intimate that yachid versus rabim, the halacha would be like the rabim.
And that's why it was necessary for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi to explicitly state that the halacha is k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, yachid b'makom rabim. Because we wouldn't have otherwise known that. Just because it's a din d'rabbanan doesn't mean that we paskin like the divrei yachid neged the rabim if it's the kula. Because we had the examples of Nida and of Eilut, which both show us that the ikar hadin is that the halacha is like rabim versus the yachid, even when the rabim are machmirim. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi comes to dispel that by Eruv and tell us that in this instance, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, even though he's a yachid.
Tosafot, over here, by the Gemara of Eilut, makes an interesting comment, and he says, despite the fact that many believe that the first day of Eilut is Midoraita, happens to be a massive machloket in the Gonim and the Rishonim, as to whether the first day of Eilut is Deoraita min haTorah or only Midorabanan. But Tosafot says that the Bahag who believes that the first day of Eilut is Deoraita, nevertheless, we still paskin that halacha k'divrei Meikyo, that the halacha is like the more lenient opinion. It's not only because it's the Rabbanon, but even the face of it, d'oraita, we're going to say halacha k'divrei Meikyo l'gabei Avelut. And Tosfot shows that the Bahag really believes that the first day of Avelut is d'oraita, because if someone has a niftar on Yom Tov, any day besides the last day of Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz, then we postpone the Avelut until after the completion of the entire Yom Tov. So after the Yom Tov Acharon, then they begin Avelut. Even though the last day of Yom Tov will count as one of their days of Avelut, but they're not noheg any Avelut on that day, but it will count as one of their days of Shiva. But if a person has a relative that their chayav to be mitabel aleihem pass away on the last day of Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz, there the Bahag says that along comes Avelut Doraita and is Doche or Trump's day Safek Drabanan of the last day of Yom Tov. And therefore the person will be Noeg Avelut on the eighth day, because Avelut is Deoraita. So he shows from the statement of the Bahag that he really believes that the first day of Avelut is Deoraita. And despite that fact, the Bahag paskins the Gabe Hilchot Avelut, that Halacha is Gedivrei HaMeikel, even with regards to that first day. Rav Papa Amar, so now Rav Papa offers up an alternative for the Itztrich, why we need both Piskei Halacha of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. One, that Rabbi Shua ben Levi says Halacha is Gedivrei HaMeikel be'Eruv. And number two is that the Halacha is Ke'et Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We had the first attempt to explain that seeming duplication by explaining that the Halacha is Gedivrei HaMeikel and the Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And that is, even though Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is arguing on the Rabbim, still the Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So now Rav Papa's alternative is Itztrich. Sakadatcha, I mean, I would have thought Hani Mile Beiruv Chatzerot, that this din only applies to Erivei Chatzerot. Aval Beiruvei Tchumim Eim Alo. I would have thought this din of Alok Gedivrei HaMeikel only applies to Erivei Chatzerot, but not Eriv Tchumim, because Eriv Tchumim are more chamur, we'll see in a second. And therefore, we have the other statement of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that the Alok is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who's speaking about Yisurei Tchumim, to say that the Alok is Gedivrei HaMeikel even in Erivei Tchumim. So Tzricha, Menat Temer Deshanan ben Eruvei Chatzerot Erivei Tchumim. How can I prove to you that there is a difference between Erivei Chatzerot and Erivei Tchumim, meaning that Tchumim are more chamur than Chatzerot? It's none. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bamed, Marimamurim be'Erivei Tchumim. When can someone, on behalf of another individual, put down an Eruv? That's only true by an Eruv Chatzerot, not by an Eruv Tchumim. So therefore, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bamed, Marimamurim be'Erivei Tchumim. Av Eruv Chatzerot, Marvin ben Ladat, ben Shelo Ladat. Comes to an Eruv Chatzerot, you can, for the benefit of another individual, have him participate in an Eruv Chatzerot, whether he knows about it, whether he doesn't know about it. But when it comes to Eruv Tchumim, you may only put down an Eruv on behalf of another individual if they are aware of it and they acquiesce to that. Shezochen Adam Shelo Bifanav, by Erivei Chatzerot, it's to the benefit of the individual. He only gains from having an Eruv Chatzerot. He really does not lose anything. Vein Chavin Adam Shelo Bifanav. When it comes to Eruv Tchumim, the individual actually loses out. Because if you make his Eruv to one side, he actually loses out the ability to walk in the other direction. So there is an obligation or a detriment to the individual, and therefore you can only do it with his acquiescence, you can't do it against his will. Now what's interesting here, it's not so clear why this is a proof that Tchumim are more chamur than Chatzerot. Because truthfully, the reason for the difference between them has simply to do with the fact that by Erev Chatzerot, there's no downside to the individual, and by Erev Tchumim, there is a downside. Nothing to do with Chumrah or Kula. So Tosafot grapples with this issue and says that by Erev Tchumim, even if you knew what the individual wanted and you put down the Erev, it wouldn't work. Whereas by Erev Chatzerot, even though he loses out a little bit because you have to take the loaf of bread from him in order to make the Erev Chatzerot, you can still make it even unbeknownst to him. So even though there's a slight detriment by Erev Chatzerot, we still say go ahead and do it for the benefit of the individual. Whereas by Erev Tchumim, we never say that, even if we know what the individual really wants. So that shows you that there is a Chumrah by Erev Tchumim versus Erev Chatzerot. And that's why he considers it to be a Chumrah over here. But what you see here, according to Rav Papa, is the reason we needed these two Piskei Halacha is to tell us that this Halacha Gedivrei HaMeikel be'Eruv does not only apply to Eruv Chatzerot, but also applies to Erivei Tchumim. Rabbi Ashi Amar Itztrich, so Rashi offers another alternative explanation. When do we say that Halacha is Gedivrei HaMeikel? That's with the leftovers in Eruv, not when you're originally placing the Eruv, but only after Eruv has been placed, and it stays there for a number of weeks, and it slowly dwindles down. We're mekel with regards to the shiurim that you have, or the minimum shiurim. We are much more mekel or lenient with regards to the leftovers or the remainder of an eruv once it's been put in place. So I would think the halacha kedivrei mekel is only b'shirei eruv. Aval b'tchilat eruv emelo. But when you initially put the eruv in place, I would think maybe not, that the halacha is not kedivrei mekel. Along comes Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi says, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now truthfully, when he's talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he's talking about eruvei tchumim. So Rashi says over here that had Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri k'tchilat eruv dami. It's the equivalent of the beginning of an Eruv, because Eruv Tchumim doesn't have this din of Shirei Eruv, and therefore it's the equivalent of putting down a new Eruv Echatzerot. How can I show you that we're more makel with regards to the residual of an Eruv than the initial placement of Eruv? That's not. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Bamed, Rabbi Mamurim, Tchilat Eruv. When is this true? That's only when you first place an Eruv. Aval b'Shirei Eruv, Afilu Koshu. Those minimum shiurim that are given for Eruv, that's only in the placement of the shiur, the initial placement of the Eruv. But once the Eruv is in place, as long as there is anything left over, any residual of that original Eruv, you can continue to be Somech on that original Eruv, even though it's now dwindled down to the point where it does not meet the minimum Shiurim. So you see that difference between them. And the only reason we say to make an Eruv Chatzerot is because we don't want the children to forget about the principle or the institution of Eruv. Now Rashi gives one reason here as to what this means. He says, well, the Igar Eruv has to do with Eruv Min, and Eruv Chatzerot was only an institution derabbanan so that the children should not forget about the institution of Eruv.
And Eruv Chatzerot, which really means Shitufei Mevaot, was instituted in order that children should not forget about Eruvei Kumin. The Shituf Mevaot, which has certain minimum Shirim, wouldn't have been necessary because of all the Eruvei Chatzerot. Nevertheless, they instituted Shitufei Mevaot in order that they should be reminded of Eruvei Tchumin.
Whereas in other places, Rashi says that the reason that after your Mishatef, after you have Shituf Mevaot, that you still have to do an Eruv Chatzerot, the Shalot Tishtrakach Torat Eruv. Because once you've done Shituf Mevaot, you don't really need the Eruv Chatzerot. But nevertheless, we force you to do it because we don't want to forget about the Eruv Chatzerot. Otherwise, nobody would know about Eruv Chatzerot. So that is the other explanation of Rashi in other place. The Reef favors Rashi's opinion over here. But in either instance, what you see is that Eruv Chatzerot, the reason that we allow this bula in the back end is because the whole institution of Eruv in the front end was only Shalot Tishtachach Torat Eruv, so that it should not be forgotten, the Eruv. Either because the Ikar Takanat Eruv is by Tchumin, or because the Shittif Mo'ba'ot takes care of it, and we're only making the Eruv Chatzerot, so the Shalot Tishtachach Torat Eruvin Minatichin Okot.
Therefore, according to Rav Ashi, we would have said Halacha Kedibrei Meikel only applies to Shirei Eruv, where we find other Kulot. Along comes Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi to tell us Halacha Ageh Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, over here by Dinei Eruvei Tumin, which is equivalent to Tchilat Eruv Chatzerot, and therefore, we say the halacha is Divrei Megil not only by Shirei Eruv, but even by Tchilat Eruv.
Now we move on to some of the Klalei Apsak that are being laid out here. Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zeira Amru, they both said, Halacha ke Rabbi Akiva mechaviro. Whenever you have a disagreement between Rabbi Akiva and another individual, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Uke Rabbi Yossi mechaveirav. And the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, even when he is arguing with multiple people. Uke Rabbi mechaveiro. And the halacha is like Rabbi when he's arguing on one individual, but not mechaveirav, if there are multiple individuals arguing him. So for Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi, the halacha is like them when they're arguing any other individual, but the halacha will not be like them when there are multiple individuals that disagree. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, even if there are multiple individuals arguing on him, they would still be the halacha like Rabbi Yossi. L'mai hilchotah. Why do we need to know these klalei apsak? What is this teaching us? Rav Asi amar halacha. Rabbi Chiya b'Avar amar matin. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi China amar nirin. So in the, here you have a three-way machloket as to what these principles are being laid out for. And actually happens to be a machloket Rashi and Tosavot. So first we'll explain Rashi's opinion, which is Rav Asi amar halacha. That you paskin halacha publicly in this manner. Halacha means these are klalei psak, and we give this as a public psak to anybody. You have to follow this psak. Here b'Avar amar matin, that we don't make public announcements about this or pronouncements about halacha like this, but matin, if someone comes to us and asks the question, then we will paskin through these klalei psak. Yossi Rebbe China amar nirin. We don't give a psak halacha publicly, we don't give a psak halacha privately, but if an individual does like Rabbi Yossi, even though it's in the face of Rabbim, we won't tell him to reverse the situation or back it out.
So for Rashi, the main issue here revolves around the one psak with regards to Rabbi Yossi versus Chavei Rav. With regards to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi, those are klalei psak with regards to one versus one. So over there, to say the halacha is like that individual is not such a big chiddush. On the other hand, by Rabbi Yossi mechavei Rav, that goes against another principle of psak, which is Yachid v'Rabim halacha k'Rabim. So how strong is our statement over here that halacha is k'Rabbi Yossi mechavei Rav? That halacha is like Rabbi Yossi even against the Rabbim. And that's where we have this three-way machloket. Is it mean it's a halacha psuka that we publicly pronounce that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi? Do we say that it is matin? That if someone comes to us individually, we will say the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, but otherwise it'll follow normal klalei apsak of halacha k'rabim? Or do we say nirin, that we don't ever give the psak halacha like Rabbi Yossi versus the Rabbim, but if someone acts in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, we will not reverse that opinion. On the other hand, Tosafot says that the issue here is not just focused on Rabbi Yossi mechaveirav, but on all three of these klalei apsak. How much strength do we give to these klalei apsak?
Since the Gemara never says halacha to this person or halacha to that person, when we have these klalei apsakir of Rabbi Michaveiro, Rabbi Akiva Michaveiro, Rabbi Yossi Michaveirav, how strong is that psak halacha? So, for instance, if someone ignores these klalei apsak and goes against them, what do we do about it? So, in the first opinion that it's halacha, then we would reverse their opinion. These klalei apsak are halacha, and halacha to the point that we would force a reversal of someone who went against them. The other opinion is that matin. We would dissuade someone from paskening against these opinions. If they came to ask us, we would stop them. We would tell them not to pasken against them. But if they already acted, we will not reverse what they did. Because these are suggestions rather than absolute halacha. And according to one who says nirin, then even if he comes to us, we're not going to dissuade him. We're not going to give an opinion in either direction. And if he wants to paskin against these klalei hapsak, then that's fine. Because these are simple suggestions, not klalei hapsak. Kalashona zeh amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Yidi, amar Rabbi Yochanan. In a similar vein, we had these lishonot, whether it's halacha, matin, or nirin, with regards to a statement that was made by Rabbi Yaakov bar Yidi, amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, halacha, Rabbi Yehuda. You have a machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, if you have a machloke between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. Vein tzalach lomar, the transitive property teaches us, if you have Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yossi, halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. Hashta b'makom Rabbi Yehuda leta, here Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda trumps, then makom Rabbi Yossi mi bai. Certainly, by Rabbi Yossi, he's going to trump Rabbi Meir. Amravasi, af ani lomeid, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. I also state that when it comes to machloka between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. The Amar Rabbi Ava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because we have another klala psak, which is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda. That it's Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Hashta b'makom Rabbi Yehuda leta, here versus Rabbi Yehuda trumps Rabbi Shimon. Then makom Rabbi Yossi mi bai. Certainly, by Rabbi Yossi, he's going to trump Rabbi Shimon. And again, if Rabbi Yossi trumps Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda trumps Rabbi Shimon, then certainly Rabbi Yossi trumps Rabbi Shimon. So in terms of a hierarchy, Rabbi Yossi is on top. Then below him is Rabbi Yehuda. And then below them is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara is going to ask now, Ibailu, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Mai. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon are on that bottom rung. Who's Allah alike? And now we say, Teiku, we don't know. So Rabbi Yossi is on top. Next level is Rabbi Yehuda. Below them is this level of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, who we have a take, who we don't know who has higher in the hierarchy over there, and therefore we say that they're on the same level, but below Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Misharshi, Letnu Lahani Galali. Rabbi Misharshi says, I don't subscribe to any of these principles, but in each case we have to look at the situation of the Paskan Alocha. Minale the Rabbi Misharshi, aha. How does he know that we don't subscribe to these principles? If you think it derives from this Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, our Mishnah, L'ma'adavar domeh. What is this similar to? The case where you have three individuals and they have overlapping tumim, the Dalet Amot. You have the eastern individual, the western individual, and a person in the middle. The person in the middle overlaps with the one in the east and the west, but the east and the west ones don't overlap. He said that that is similar to the Gimel Chatzerot of Tuchot Zuluzo. Similar to three Chatzerot that are open into each other, Tuchot Rishut Rabim, and each one is open into the Rishut Rabim. Irvu Shtayim Achitzenot Imayim Tzayit. The two outer ones make an Eruv with the middle one. He mutarati mehem, vehein mutarati ma. Each one of the outer chatzerot is mutar with the middle one, and the middle one's mutar with them. Shtayim achitzonot asurot zuam zu. But the two outer chatzerot are asurot. Ve'amar Rav Chama bar Guri amar Rav Alochik Rabbi Shimon. And here we say that the loch is like Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. Uman poligale. Who argues on Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the Baal Bukta of Rabbi Shimon. How do we know that? Rashi gives two possibilities. Either because his stam bar blukta is Rabbi Yehuda, or because in the previous part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda was specifically mentioned as the author of that position. So once we switch over to Rabbi Shimon, we see anything that was said until then was Rabbi Yehuda, or he's his bar blukta. V'amar is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Didn't you say one of the principles is you have a machloka Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, a lochik Rabbi Yehuda? The love shmami no, that no. So we don't have these principles, because over here we're passing like Rabbi Shimon. Where it says, my kushya. Why is that a question? Dilma hechad itmar itmar. Hechad lo itmar, lo itmar. When we have an explicit statement that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, then we'll go with that explicit statement. But where we don't have any explicit statement, these become the klalei apsak, and if you have Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Over here we have a specific statement otherwise, so we won't go to the klalei apsak. Elamiha, ditan, must be from this Mishnah. Ir shal yachid ben asit shal rabim. It was originally a private city. and then became a city owned by the public. Marvinet Kuva, then you can make an Eruv for the entire city as one. Since originally you could do that with the Ir Shel Yachid, you can continue to do it even when it converts to an Ir Shel Rabim. Shel Rabim Nasid Shel Yachid, it was the opposite way around, it was an Ir Rabim, and then it turned into a private Ir, Ein Marvinet Kuva, then you can't make an Eruv for the whole city, because originally when it was an Ir Shel Rabim, you couldn't do it. So now, even though it's transformed into a Ir Shel Yachid, it still maintains that original status, and you can't make a single Eruv for the whole city. How can you do it? Alim Kein Oseh Chutzala, unless accepted from the Eruv, is left out, Ir Chadasha Shebiyudah, like a new city in Yudah, Sheish Ba Chamishim Diyurim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to have a minimum of 50 individuals outside of the Eruv in order to qualify the remainder to be an Eruv. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosh Chatzerot Shel Shnei Batim. What has to be left out are 3 courtyards, each courtyard that has 2 batim on it. And the reason that when it transformed from being Ir Shel Rabim, there's no longer, as Rashi says, 600,000 people traversing that city. So it lost its status of a Rabim. Nevertheless, after it lost the status of Rabim, since it once was an Ir Shel Rabim, you cannot make a single Eruv for the whole city. You have to do it Mivod, Mivod. You have to leave something over. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to leave over an area with 50 people. Shimon says you have to leave over an area with 3 chatzirot with each 2 batim. Again, we pass like Halacha like Rabbi Shimon. Man Paligalei, Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda's argument. We say the Halacha like Rabbi Shimon. Ha'amar to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. When we have a Machloka, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Halacha should be like Rabbi Yehuda. Again, the Gemara answers the same way. My kushya, why is this really a question? Dima'ocha nami hechadid ma'itmar. When you have an explicit statement, the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, then we'll follow that. Hechad lo itmar. When we don't have any specific statement, lo itmar. It's not said, and then we will say the Klali Apsak, the Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon Halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we'll stop over here and continue with this question as to where Rav Misharshia sourced his position that we don't follow these Klali Apsak from tomorrow.